Good evening. This is Amanda Manier with Veterans Voice. I am your host this evening. We are live taking your calls to talk about anything veteran related. I understand this evening is going to be a little bit different, just in the sense of it is election night. And if you've listened to this show before, I generally don't try to dive into political conversation, but I'm going to break the rules this evening if you'd like to join us on that. Again, my name is Amanda Manier. I'm your host here at the Veterans Voice every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock. I am a veteran advocate and the managing attorney at the Veterans Law Group. And essentially what that means is I get to help veterans and work with veterans every single day, helping them to navigate the process of getting VA disability claims processed, awarded, get them implemented. And so if you are a veteran out there or a family member of a veteran who has been in the process of trying to figure this out and trying to work through the red tape, this is what the show is all about, is to kind of give me an opportunity to lend my years of expertise, and not just mine, but the 25 plus years of experience of our firm in working just in this area. And it's one of those things. I had worked many years, as almost 10 years as a business attorney, before I kind of fell into helping a friend of mine who was a veteran, had gotten out of the military, had spent about 18 months over in Iraq, and just came back struggling, definitely struggling with PTSD and some other physical issues, getting out of the military and watching him try to figure out how to go to school, get the disability benefits that he needed, those kind of things. So I kind of fell into helping him with that, and really have always had a heart for veterans, but fell into that and ended up eventually this becoming my full-time gig. So what one of my favorite things to do as part of my job as the managing attorney is to host the show. Again, here at the Veterans Voice, and most of the time, or often, we are live taking your calls. And I want to give you the call-in number here. It's 800-222-5222. If you are a veteran or a family member of a veteran who has questions related to disability claims, I'm happy to take those calls. Also, as somewhat of an exception to the rule for this evening, I'd be happy to take calls, related a little bit to the political environment that's going on. One of the huge or often questions that I get is, sorry, helicopter going overhead, is, you know, as the administrations change over the years, does it really benefit? You know, we hear certain, you know, administrations that pay a lot of attention to veterans, and everybody wants to talk positive. It's the veteran community is one of those things where they become often, it's non-controversial in the sense that everybody wants to support veterans. The question is how do you support veterans in the most positive way? It's kind of the same thing as, you know, everybody wants good education for their children, but, you know, what's the best way of going about that? And so I've often been asked, and am regularly asked, about what changes or what does or does not change as administrations change, or as, power shifts from the left to the right or the right to the left. Like, how does that actually trickle down to veterans? So that's something you'd love to talk about tonight. Again, our number here is 800-222-5222, since we are here on election night. I'd be happy to lend a little bit of our conversation this evening to that topic. There has been a lot of changes I've seen. I've worked exclusively in VA disability law, coming up on 9 years, dabbled in it for probably going on 12 years. So I've seen a couple of administrations have gone through, many different Secretary of Veteran Affairs, and some of which I have strong feelings about, and some of which I kind of feel like, okay, this is just another one of those, you know, changes in an administration that doesn't always mean anything. It doesn't always make a difference. Sometimes changing a figurehead at the top of an organization might, you know, ignite some spirit or some ideas of things have the possibility of changing. But when it comes to an organization that is a very large bureaucracy, how does that trickle down to the individual that is handling the paperwork that you as a veteran are handing to them at the Los Angeles regional office or the San Diego regional office. And so certainly, as I said, I may have my opinions about those. I would love to hear your thoughts as veterans out there as whether or not you feel like there's a change in what happens on the ground level as, you know, the politics change. Again, our number here is 800-222-5222 as we're here on election night. I do want to kind of circle back a little bit with the things of how you can reach us. You can reach us live here at the number I just listed, 800-222-5222. We also take your questions that you can submit throughout the week. If you're listening to a recording on the podcast or on the KABC website, you can also submit questions on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube page. If you search Veterans Law Group, you can find us there. So I kind of monitor those throughout the week and often respond to them, or most of the time respond to them directly on the platform. But I see some that come in now and then, and I feel like, oh, that would be a great topic for a radio show. So I have some of those that I would be happy to address. But again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, you can search us at veteranslaw.com or Veterans Law Group, and you'll find us there. So a couple of things I will address, you know, I'll kind of start the topic a little bit to expand on what I was saying about, you know, do things really change depending upon the administration? And as I alluded to a little bit, there is, you know, it's the VA is a large organization that is, it's a government organization. It's a lot of the same people that are in leadership, even when the head of the organization changes. As the Secretary of Veteran Affairs, their, you know, the ability for them, you know, I often almost feel sorry for the people who are being appointed as the Secretary of Veteran Affairs, because there's this expectation or intention that there's going to be some big sweeping change or some, and, you know, something's going to happen. And I remember one of the Secretary of Veteran Affairs that got appointed in a previous administration that I, you know, a lot of people were in our industry and even veterans were relatively happy about and thought, oh, this could be interesting. And, you know, ultimately there was a statement that was made by him that there wasn't a lot, you know, that I don't think he said there was a lot, there wasn't a lot he could do. I don't think he said it that straightforward, but when you go into an organization like that and basically you're the head and everybody below you has been there for 30 years, 20 years, and everything is kind of status quo, it's going to take kind of somebody who comes in with a, you know, a bull with horns that's going to break some things up and probably cause a lot of controversy. And the again, when we talk about veterans issues and, you know, everybody's on that side. Everybody wants to support veterans. Nobody's going to come out and say the veterans have gotten everything that they need and they shouldn't get anything more. And so it's a relatively, I think, difficult thing to navigate. However, there are certainly things that are legislative changes and statutory changes and things that I would love to see happen. One in which I'm currently working on pitching to some congressmen and some senators here in Southern California. And that would be a great topic as well. If you're out there listening and you've got some suggested changes that you would love to see happen as far as law changes, again, the number is 800-222-5222. We'll take those as well. And again, generally I try to stick outside of politics and outside of legislation, but, I'm opening that up this evening just because it's election night and it can be something interesting for us to talk about. But one of the things that, before we go into the break here, that I wanted to highlight was a couple of questions that over the last couple of weeks have trickled in on our social media pages. And then as well, when you contact our office at Veterans Law, and if you're interested in possibly working with us or having us review your case, it's veteranslaw.com. You can get a free consultation through that website. But some of the common questions that come up with people who contact our office, I want to address a few of those that I will kind of go to now. One of which in particular is I've seen come up a lot. And this one is something that I've touched on a little bit if you've listened to the show, but I want to dig in a little bit deeper on that. Somebody contacted us and said that they had gone to their doctor. They had gone to, sometimes it's a compensation and pension exam, where they're a veteran is filing a claim for, say, you know, we often use the PTSD or any of those psychological conditions, and they're wanting to, a veteran is wanting to either get rated for that, get service connected and rated for that, which would eventually end up with compensation, or they're trying to increase their rating for that percentage. And I hear this a lot where it's they go to this exam or they're seeing their regular doctor and their doctor is saying, what the veteran says to me is the doctor has said I'm a 70% rated or I should be 70% rated or I should be 100% rated or I should be 50% rated. How do I get the VA, which is the separate rating entity, how do I get them to recognize what my doctor is saying is a 70% rating? And I understand the frustration in that because you feel like the doctor is the medical professional who is providing their medical opinion on what you should be rated. But essentially what it comes down to is that rater, that person who is reviewing the decision or reviewing the medical evidence to make a decision as to what you should be officially rated at, they're reviewing what the doctor says as far as symptoms. And it's not up to the doctor to assign a percentage. It's up to the doctor to say, well, I, in my opinion, they have the symptoms of a 70% and these are those symptoms and they have to support those things. But just having your doctor say, I should be a 70% rating or my doctor tells me I should be a 70% rating, that's an important piece of evidence, but it is not a end all and be all to get the VA disability rating entity part of it to actually rate you at that 70% or higher. So we'll dig into that a little bit more. We're kind of coming up on a break, but we'll dig into that a little bit more if you guys would like to. This is Amanda Manier with the Veterans Voice. We'll be right back. We're taking our calls live this evening, 800-222-5222. We will be right back after this break, and I believe an election update. And they can't take that away. Welcome back. This is Amanda Manier. I am your host here at the Veterans Voice every Tuesday night here from 7 to 8 o'clock talking about anything related to veterans, but specifically related to veterans' disability claims, kind of navigating the process of how to get your VA claim approved, how to get it increased. But in addition to that, sometimes we're talking about just topics and things that are happening in the veteran community, specifically legally, some of the changes that are being proposed in the congressional level. I try not to get too much involved in politics, but this is election night, so I'm opening up to that. I personally have very strong opinions about politics and are very well versed and dig into that very deeply. But this show, I feel like when it comes to veterans benefits, it's a should be a non-political issue. However, as I mentioned before we went to the break, there are, you know, veterans benefits is one of those things, or veterans rights is one of those things that both sides of the aisle always, argue that they support. And I think that they just kind of come down to, it's almost like education. Yes, they support them. They're positive, but they find different ways in which their perspective is and how to make those changes and how to support veterans, how to make the process easier. So again, we are live this evening. I'm happy to take your calls related to questions about VA disability benefits, whether you're a veteran or family member of a veteran. If you're trying to navigate that process, that's typically what we do here on Tuesday nights. I'm also opening it up to, if you've got some comments or some ideas about what kind of things you would like to see changed from a political perspective, or from a legal perspective of laws that are changed that would help veterans, things that you guys have run into. Our number here is 800-222-5222. We'd be happy to take your call and kind of engage in that discussion. I certainly have some perspectives of my own, but I would love to hear from you. I understand we have Glenn from Los Angeles on the line. Welcome, Glenn.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Oh, I am not good at all.
I'm sorry.
Basically, let me give you an overview of what's going on here. About 7 years ago, I don't know if this is nationwide, but in the VA, in the LA area, they changed the way the primary care doctors work, and that they made the primary care doctors attendings, supervising medical students.
Mm-hmm.
And so my particular primary, I have not seen her in about 7 years because she runs everything through the medical students. And I've talked to other vets who are in the same situation where they haven't seen her that are on her team. Then I've talked to other vets that are seeing other primaries over there. And if they ask to see their primary, the medical student goes gets the primary and brings them back. And so I filed a complaint with the hospital administrator about the fact that, I haven't seen her in 7 years, and it has severely affected the quality of care over there, because when you're trying to relay something through someone else, the possibility of it being misconstrued is very, very high. And that's what's been happening. And I complained about her, and she filed a complaint with the DMV, a report with the DMV saying I'm passing out while driving, I have heart problems, I have this problem, I have that problem. And then she started canceling procedures that were scheduled. And I have since gotten a new primary care over there, but she still keeps interfering with my, you know, with what the new primary is doing. And it's tough.
It is not a story I have not heard before. I would say that, especially when you're talking about the, what's listed as your primary care physician, but yet you don't really see that primary care physician. It's not exclusive to Los Angeles, but it is especially there. Go ahead.
Right. And I switched to a new primary who is very responsive.
Good.
If I email her, she either emails me back or calls me back within a day or so.
Good.
And I've gotten some of my procedures restored, but I have a right knee that's bone to bone. It's been sent out, it's been approved and sent out to community care twice already, and twice she's canceled it. And if you can't imagine how bad the pain is, it's excruciatingly bad.
Sure.
You know, when you're bone to bone, and go ahead.
No, and that's probably one of the most common, you know, arguments or frustrations that I hear from veterans about the healthcare portion of it is a lot of it is the wait time to get to the procedure that you need. A lot of it is get to talk to the right person to finally be able to explain to them what kind of things that you're considering, you know, what you're dealing with. Like you said, the bone to bone, like this is, you know, this is obviously not a, you know, comfortable position that I'm in. And then getting things processed and approved and all of that kind of thing. And I do know that there has been, you know, when I was talking earlier about what was better or worse during different administrations, you know, the one thing that I did get some traction on for a number of years in the last administration was the White House hotline, and the Veterans Experience Office was very active, and they were they showed up at, I knew, you know, well, several of the people that showed up at all kinds of Veteran Service Organization conferences, because I was there and I met them. They were very active and they were very responsive. What I found out is that a lot of veterans just didn't even know about it. And I don't know, I haven't heard really anything. Me personally, I haven't heard anything about it in the last couple of years under the new administration.
Well,
are you familiar
with it? Another situation I had earlier this year was I went in. I had to go to the emergency room because I was very short of breath. I thought it was bronchitis coming on. And then when I was not coughing up the entire green color spectrum that afternoon and it was getting shorter of breath, I got over to the emergency room and they checked me out and they said I had fluid on the lungs, which was because my left ventricle was enlarged and it was not pumping the way it should. So they cleaned that up and I ended up going home. And a few weeks later, they put me on a heart medication. A few weeks later, I went back in with the same issue and they cleaned it up again. And this time they sent me home with Lasix, which makes you go to the bathroom a lot. But the other thing they did too was one of the residents, the medical students, prescribed me two more heart medications that, just like the original one, lowered blood pressure. And I was at a physical therapy appointment, and I was nodding off, and they took my blood pressure, and it was 88 over 56, and that's just north of dead.
No.
And so I went back home and I looked at all my medications and I found out I had these extra ones and I called over to VA, talked to the cardiologist, one of the cardiologists over there, and he said, stop taking those other two medications right now.
Yeah.
And I felt better than that.
Yeah.
Day.
And that,
but that,
sure,
that could have killed
sure.
me. That could have killed
yeah,
me.
Yeah. And the one thing that I will say for getting VA medical care versus necessarily private medical care is that there is a, you know, the things like the White House hotline and the social workers and those kind of things that you can get some support with. But there's also very limitations, as you've probably know, with regards to holding people accountable for malpractice and those kind of things. So the VA Medical Center is a nuance that is, as you know, in me working with so many years under VA disability compensation, I'm familiar with the VA medical centers because we have to relate with them, but they don't, you know, I certainly don't hold power of attorney with them and I can't really control what happens over there, even for my clients or even advocate for them, you know? So it becomes very frustrating.
Yeah.
And I will say,
this is what I'm going through and I'm wondering if it's something that, you know, if I call your office on, maybe we can, do something,
Yeah, it's not something that we work with because when you take power of attorney, which is what we do, we represent veterans before the VA for disability compensation. That is not the same that is recognized before the medical center. So the medical center will not speak with us because we don't have power of attorney for those issues. It's a separate thing. So it's one of those things that there's, you know, a number of ways of like.
All right, well, maybe I can call your office and you can give me a couple of leads as to where I can go.
Sure, we definitely have some referrals out there of different, it depends upon the situation, and there's some referrals out there. But thank you for, you know, sharing your story. I'm sorry that you're dealing with that. I wish that I could say it was an anomaly, unfortunately.
Little shout out.
We're about to go to a hard break. Make it really quick.
Okay, real quick. Amazon Smile is a charity thing where they give a half a percent of your sales to a charity of your choice. The Gary Sinise Foundation is one of
them.
The charities that's listed.
Yep. I will reiterate that when we come back from the break. We're about to go to a hard break. I will reiterate that. Thank you so much for your call, Glenn. And I'm a big fan of theirs as well. So we'll be right back. This is Amanda Bonnier with the Veterans Voice on 790 KABC.
To be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom. And they can't take that away.
Good evening, welcome back. This is Amanda Mania with the Veterans Voice here on 790 KABC. I am a veteran advocate and managing attorney at the Veterans Law Group, which all of that just generally means that I get to represent veterans and support them through their VA disability claims process. We also do quite a bit of, I wouldn't say the word lobbying, but we do a bit of argument that and specifically at the Federal Circuit and CAVC level, all the way up to the Supreme Court, arguing on behalf of veterans. We're currently working on we filed a petition with the Supreme Court dealing with some issues there. And we're going to be waiting for a few months to see if the Supreme Court picks that up. But it's one of the joys of my life that I get to host this show, as well as work in an industry that I get to help, support veterans and help make change and to them and their families. And then also we have an amazing team that I work with, that many of them are, all of them are either veterans or family members of veterans, many of which have gone through this process as well. Before the break, we were talking a little bit with one of our callers. We are taking your calls live this evening. Let me give you the call-in number, 800-222-5222. Again, we are live this evening. We're on election night, talking about some things related to not only VA disability claims, but generally I try to stay away from politics, but I'm going to open that up this evening of things that there are changes that you would like to see within the VA disability compensation, changes in laws, I'm going to definitely bring one of those up before the end of the show that we're currently working on in trying to affect some change from a legislative perspective that would help veterans. I would be open to hearing that. When administrations change or senators change, there is some things that can shift. It doesn't seem like a huge ball that gets rolled, but at the same time, I try to hold on to those things that we can help support. Here in Southern California, we definitely have a huge presence of veterans and veterans' families, and so the politicians generally try to focus on that community. So again, I'd love to hear your thoughts on things that you would like to see changed. Again, our number here is 800-222-5222. You can also submit your questions throughout the week. We're here every Tuesday night from 7 to 8, but even throughout the week, you can submit your questions on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Submit those there. I may respond to them directly or via our radio show this evening. I understand we have a call, I believe it was David, who would like to kind of chime in about some of the issues there in Los Angeles or here in Los Angeles about some of the things related to the VA. David, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. But yes, I am. I'm West LA vet. But I did want to say something that you said that made so much sense. As the other caller was talking about the medications that you may be taking, but you have to make sure that you follow up with each doctor that you deal with.
Sure.
Because one doctor may not know what was prescribed for you. And I've been married for 53 years, and I love my wife dearly. And she wound up having type 2 diabetes, and had I given her the medication that was prescribed for her, she would be dead. So, you know, there is a difference. You have to. And I filed, I came out in 1970, and it was because of a seizure disorder. At that time, it was trying to remember. Well, my memory is not as good as it used to be. I'm 74.
Well, let me start with this, David. What branch of service did you serve in?
I was in the Marine Corps.
And what years did you serve?
I served from 64 to 68, and I was in 1969 when I came out. I filed, but I didn't really care about it because I had a good job, so I didn't look back at any of that. And I had my first child, my wife and I, and raising the children, doing this, all I wanted was money to put in. And for me to get it, I had to work. But I lost more than four or five different jobs because of seizures. I tried to cover it up, but it didn't work, you know.
Right. So did you eventually have to pursue a claim for that?
Well, I did in 2018, and when I called, they said, well, you know, we're still, you don't need to send us anything, But the only problem with that is the VA is the only one that ever took care of me for that. Well, I had several incidents outside places where they took me emergency-wise, but the VA started giving me Dilantin and phenobarbital in 1969. And I took that up until 1991, my son went to college. But and they put me on a mile, pretty much like mile, like gabapentin, which is supposed to help you do everything.
Sure.
They put me on that, and there's another. All right, I'm sorry. I don't mean to hold you up so much, but
no, I think what's interesting. What's interesting about what you're saying is that, you know, there is, and it's important thing to note is that there's never, it's never too late to file a claim. If you were dealing with this from, you know, in 69 when you got out then, or, you know, it took till 2018 to file a claim for that. There is no, what they call, quote unquote, statute of limitations on when you can file a claim. It just becomes harder and harder to prove as you go on, as the years go by.
Well, the only thing about that is the military, I came out because of the seizures, how they occurred, I would never know because when I was when I joined the military, I was playing football, boxing, doing a lot of things, high school, whatever. I wasn't able to
You were invincible. College, yeah.
I joined the military. And that's, but I didn't have them when I went in, and I went through a strategic physical, believe me.
Sure.
But as it
and
is.
And so, I would imagine that when you got out, there wasn't a bunch of people that were teaching you all about what you shouldn't, what, you know, what kind of ramifications you could have from those injuries and how they would long-term affect your life. I would say that that's one of the things the military has done differently over the years is that they do a little a better education than they did back when you got out of the service. It's still not the greatest, but there's probably not much that you were told as you got out as far as the VA taking care of you. Is that fair?
Oh, it's more than fair. And I'll tell you what's much more fair is hearing you. I mean, you are a wow. Hearing you speak, it sounds like you're one of my fellow vets. But I do want to say I thank you so very much. And I don't want to hold you up day, but I could talk to you forever. And that is a long story, but I appreciate that so much. If I took
Absolutely, David. And I bet you've got all kinds of good stories, and you're one of the people, one of the many reasons why I love doing what I do is because I love to hear stories. And oftentimes, as you're probably, you know, preaching the choir here, is that there's been a long history of people not wanting to hear those stories or you not being able to tell those stories. It's one of the, you know, sadnesses that I feel on a regular basis. My uncle was a Vietnam vet, and I've known many Vietnam vets, and they were often told, you know, don't talk about your service when you come back. And, you know, whether you served specifically in Vietnam or not, it's as a Marine Corps veteran during that period of time, you were not often welcomed when you come home as a hero, as you should have been. So I, you know, it's trite words sometimes to say thank you for your service, but I definitely is very heartfelt when I say that of, you know, thank you for the time that you gave to this country. And unfortunately the kind of things that you have had to endure after that because of that time in the service. So thank you, David.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. So I love you. I hope they put you on every day, $8.
Well, I might get a little worn out, but you know, I can certainly talk. I get on a little bit of a soapbox now and then when it comes to VA stuff, supporting veterans. But I'm sure that they have generally other things to talk about, including this evening as we're doing election night. And you know, some of us are like, okay, great, it's election night, and hopefully we can, you know, pray for change. And other as I always talk about trying to curb my cynicism about the VA, as I try not to get too cynical about them. But I don't generally put a whole lot of stock on,
huge changes on evenings like this. I think, honestly, the biggest shift that I saw in politics over my lifetime was when Trump was elected, and that shook things up, and then we went back to some other shakeup things. So we'll see what happens in the future, but veterans will always be loved. They will always be supported, and nobody's going to fight against them. It's just how we decide to really support them in the way they're needed. We'll be right back. This is Amanda Manier with the Veterans Voice.
There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Veteran's Voice. This is your host, Amanda Manier. I am a veteran advocate and managing attorney at the Veterans Law Group. And we get to host the show every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 o'clock, talking about things related to and affecting veterans and their families. Primarily what we're talking about is VA disability benefits and kind of having to navigate that process. With it being election night this evening, we are live. You can reach us at 800-222-5222. We are taking your calls live, talking about anything related to those issues, VA disability benefits, all of that kind of thing. But if you have some comments with regards to, well, I would say because it's election night, maybe not necessarily about the election itself, but things of changes or things that you would like to see happen within the VA Disability Benefits Medical Center, things that are affecting veterans, I'd love to take your calls and have that conversation. I would like to welcome Tom, I believe, from Los Angeles. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. How can I help you this evening?
I have a service-connected disability, and I am still working, but I'm an age where I can start collecting Social Security. And I was wondering if I should be concerned that my monthly compensation would suffer if I begin collecting Social Security.
You know what? Tom, you were reading my mind, because generally when I work up for this show and I prepare for this show, I usually have a topic of conversation that I would love to go to if I don't get necessarily calls of people who are interested in talking about, you know, I always want to answer questions directly, but I always have a little topic of conversation. The topic that I had here was Social Security and how it relates to VA disability. So essentially, the two of them are completely separate in the sense that you can collect VA disability and Social Security, whether it's disability or Social Security retirement, completely separate. One does not affect each other in the sense that it doesn't reduce what you're getting. The exception to that is if you are getting VA pension, and by pension I mean not a retirement, but there is something called VA pension. So are you getting VA pension or are you getting VA disability?
Well, that's a good question. I collected for many years now. I don't know.
Do you have a percentage?
100%.
Do you? Okay. So if you're getting 100%, then you're probably getting VA disability compensation. That means that they're determining that your disabilities, whether they're physical or psychological, rate at 100% rating, and that's usually floats right around $3,000 a month. A pension is somebody who's a wartime veteran, they're dealing with problems financially, and so it's not related to a particular disability.
It's a disability.
Okay.
It's a physical.
So with that, okay. So with that, it doesn't at all affect your ability to get Social Security disability or Social Security retirement. They're completely separate. You can completely 100% collect on both.
Just because I want to verify that I'm not in the category of pension as opposed to compensation, how would I double check that?
If you have a percentage rating like that with 100% disability that's physical, if it's, is your physical disability related to your service?
It is.
Yeah, then I have no question that you're getting disability compensation and not pension.
Oh, okay. I meant, you know, yeah. Could I go into my records and check that? But if you're sure, then I truly appreciate your help.
Sure, you can hang up and continue to listen, but I want to expand a little bit on that just for other people who are listening. But one of the things I see a lot, because the majority of, and thank you for calling in, Tom, I appreciate it. You're welcome, is veterans who are pursuing or who are struggling with working, and whether that's for physical disabilities or, you know, psychological, dealing with PTSD or anxiety, depression, those kind of things related to their service, is they are told sometimes to wait, or that they don't qualify for Social Security disability, or to wait to file that until they get their VA claim. And those are two completely separate federal entities and completely separate federal programs that a veteran is entitled to both of them. So if you're struggling with working and you would be entitled to Social Security disability, and you also are pursuing VA disability, you can do both. Often, because there's different qualifications, there's different criteria for them. We often in our office end up working closely with a Social Security disability attorney for one of our clients, because they're pursuing that and they may have gotten denied on Social Security, but we were able to get them the VA unemployability. So in that case, it's like the VA is saying, okay, because of their condition, they're unemployable, or they can't, you know, at least for, doesn't have to be permanently unemployable, but at this time they're unemployable. And the Social Security disability is saying, well, you're not. And so it's not a straight thing where it's Social Security has to accept it because VA did, or VA has to because Social Security did, but they allow that to be very strong evidence to support each other and each other's, you know, claim. So if you're, what I always tell our veterans that are pursuing unemployability with the VA, they should also be pursuing Social Security disability at the same time. When it comes to VA disability compensation, 100% rating is usually is an average of about $3,000 a month. Depends on how many dependents you have and that kind of thing. But I, you know, us here in Southern California, $3,000 a month is about $36,000 a year. It is a tax-free, so you're not being taxed on that. But that's still a very small amount of money to be able to live on in Southern California. And so there are other programs and other entities to be able, like Social Security, to be able to help kind of support that if you're unable to work. So I get that question a lot of, can I do one or the other? Is it going to mess up my claim if I add on a Social Security when I'm doing VA? And the answer to that is no. Pursue both of them, you know, completely wholeheartedly. And if you are working with a law office like ours, I don't think I mentioned this on this show, but our office only works in appeals. So that means that you have filed a claim with the VA, you've gotten a decision back, and you don't like that decision. And so we're going to help appeal it. Most Social Security attorneys work in that same way. You file a Social Security claim, you get denied, and then you work with an attorney. So we work closely with a lot of Social Security disability attorneys to help kind of, you know, provide evidence back and forth and help support both of those claims. So thank you again to Tom for bringing that up. It's, again, one of the things that I had listed here to talk about this evening if that was a topic of conversation. So I think it's just a little bit of what they call, I don't know, serendipity or a God thing that was brought up as well. One of the other things that I would say also is that in the distinction between the two is with VA disability, you have to be, it has to be service-connected injuries. So you may have, like, to give you an easy example, you may be a veteran who has, you know, PTSD related to service, but then after service had a back injury, maybe in a car accident or something like that. So maybe you're on Social Security disability because you can't work full time because of your back and your PTSD. Social Security may grant you that, but then the VA is going to say, no, you're not working because of your back, which has nothing to do with us. That's not related to your service. And we see that a lot. And so then our job as an attorney is to say, well, but for that back injury, if there was this PTSD, they would also have the struggling with maintaining gainful employment. And that's the kind of the key legal words is maintaining gainful employment. So our job is then to kind of separate that out and say, okay, VA, if it wasn't for the back injury, yes, Social Security is giving it for those two reasons, but what if he only had the one? And then we generally will bring in vocational experts or those types of things. Social Security often brings in vocational experts too. So if it's just a back injury on both sides and it's service connected, we can often utilize the vocational expert's opinion from the Social Security opinion to help bolster and support your VA disability. So that's kind of how there is definitely an interaction. They can be supportive to each other, but it certainly isn't binding on your side. So, if you have any other questions, we're about to wrap up for this evening, but if you have any other questions, or maybe you didn't want to contact us live this evening about your claim, you can reach our office at 888-811-0523. That's the Veterans Law Group. Or veteranslaw.com. We offer free consultations. You can fill out a questionnaire there and you will be contacted by most likely a disabled veteran themselves or a family member of one who can help you walk through that process. We'll be back next week at every Tuesday evening, 7 to 8 o'clock. This is Amanda Manier with the Veterans Voice.